Hello, welcome back to The Reducer. Yes, possibly, maybe, or definitely the worst podcast that you subscribe to, you idiot. So, welcome.
Just me. It probably is just me.
Yeah, no. Welcome back, Mr. Dave Rothney.
Hello,
Man City fan, and I'm Howard H. Smith, lead scum. David Klein, the most miserable Liverpool supporter in the world, is not with us today. Don't worry, that's not meant to say like not with us, but he's out and about, he's doing some stuff. He's up in Scotland, so you know, I hope he gets back okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't say anything, you know, about the old firm or anything like that. quite a lot's been happening while you've been away, Mr. Rothney. Obviously he's a Man City fan. Not that we really need to go over old ground, but since you were last on, Haaland has scored 5 in a game.
Yeah. Then another three.
Obviously you beat, we're recording this within a few days of you beating Bayern Munich 3-0 at home. And everybody's saying how brilliant you looked and how wonderful you were and all the rest of it. And it's all, I think, because I'm a friend of yours, I think your feelings may have translated to me because I look at all of this and just think, yeah, whatever. It's like, yeah. When are they losing? When are they going to get really close and lose? Like every other season, when are they going to bottle it? When is Pep going to put his overthinking cap on? Very good. Copyright Dave Rothney.
Very good. Well, I thought for a start, it felt like the Bayern Munich game felt like a proper game in the sense that, I'm just going to sound very simplistic here, but there was proper defending and proper attacking. And I think Bayern could easily have won that game in the same way that we won. That's what I mean. It was a proper game. There was some last-ditch defending by us. I thought our defence was amazing. And it was, I mean, I'm totally, I always say this, I dreaded going into that because I was thinking it's Thomas Tuchel, Guardiola's gonna do something insane. And he didn't. We just played brilliantly. You know, Bayern's defence was poor. But, I mean, in these big games, it was like a proper European, grown-up European match. And we did really well. I mean, and we played at the right tempo, and there was no messing about.
And was the ground full? And was the Champions League anthem booed? And
the Champions League anthem was booed. The ground was full. It was pissing with rain.
Right, that's proper, cool. So basically, it was a classic, typical Man City midweek European game. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Pissing down with rain. The Champions League anthem was booed. Great. And but, you know, I mean, Haaland bangs in some goals. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. But Grealish, I mean, that's the thing that's kind of stood out for me over the last few weeks is obviously Haaland. Yeah. But Grealish is just.
I mean,
everybody says this about Pep and we always doubt him. They say, well, our second season, when Pep signs a player, often the first season takes him a while to settle in. Then the second season, they're on a different level. I remember this happened with Bernardo Silva, this happened with Cancelo, Mahrez. This goes on, and Grealish is doing it now. I mean, he's just, he's just totally in sync with what is required.
Well, I remember seeing an interview with him fairly recently, within the last 2 or 3 months, where he said, when I came here, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be like smashing goals in, and, you know, this is just going to be brilliant. And it wasn't like that, and it was really difficult. And you know, I had to get used to not having the ball all the time because at Villa, you know, sometimes there would be parts of a game where it was just, you know, it was just give it to me. Whereas in a team like this, there's another me on the other side.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know who's the real benefit, you know, well, obviously the real beneficiary of this is Man City, you know, and secondly, England. Because you know, one of the reasons why Grealish wasn't starting is that it was too individual. It was basically, you know, you just knew what you were going to get from him, and that was it. Whereas now, he's more of a team player, and at international level, that's even more important.
Yeah, I mean, you probably talked about this with Dave, or maybe you didn't, because you were probably talking about funny stuff instead. But Grealish is defending against Liverpool when he kind of cut off Salah on the. I mean, he tracked back, and that was you know, not seen that before. But to answer your question, when's it going to go wrong? Well, should we have a look? Real Madrid, if we get through, well, it could go wrong in the Allianz Arena next Tuesday.
Let's be honest.
Could go wrong there when he, or, you know, Real Madrid, who just kind of, you know, Ancelotti, Real Madrid, they just win games, don't they? Did you see him last night doing his keepy uppies on the sideline? That was Ancelotti. That was quite a touch.
But the thing is, I just kind of feel that this whole Madrid thing, well, it has to end sometime.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know, it really does. And, you know, what I'd like to see is it ended in proper humiliating fashion, you know, a good fucking 6-0 away defeat.
Yeah.
There you go. Hoof them out. Because Ancelotti, even if they win the Champions League, will probably get the shove. That's why nobody's queuing
up. Yeah, his contract's
up,
isn't it? Yeah.
But he'll get the shove anyway. You can't lose the league to Barcelona and retain your job.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
as we all know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, fuck all
so
that.
But I know fuck all about football. And this is always comes back to me every week. Because I said back in January, I confidently said, I think what you're going to see now is Liverpool have come into their own at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, no substitute for quality. I think you'll see them go unbeaten now between now and the end
they're
of the season.
They're capable of winning, you know, 10, 12 games on the bounce.
And they have just been, you know, just so erratic, continued to be the same Liverpool. I'm stunned, actually.
Well, I think the two of us both sort of, you know, chuckled up our sleeves at Dave's pessimism.
Yeah.
And turns out it was realism. So, you know, fair play to Dave. I still think Arsenal are going to win the league.
Yes,
but like I said, I still think, you know, you guys are going to win the Champions League. So
I hope so. I mean, we looked. I've kind of said all season about City, we haven't played like champions, and then the last 3 weeks, our performance levels have just been. Performance level, that's a bit of a wanky phrase, but there you go. We've just played really well. We've got up a gear, to use another cliche. We just look, you know, like proper again.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Right, right, anyway, that's enough about all of that shit.
Come yes.
Let's get into the bollocks of what's been going. So, we're recording this at a time where, at the weekend, a linesman... Mr. Hazard Rakis tried to elbow Andrew Robertson of Liverpool in the throat, which is would appear to be the accusation. And then midweek, funnily enough, the Man City Bayern Munich game, apparently afterwards, Sané chinned...
other way around.
Yeah. Mane chinned Sané. It sounds like a drink, doesn't it? Mane chinned Sané in the Bayern dressing room.
And when Mane hit Sané, which is like Harry met Sally, isn't it?
Yeah, I like
Mane
that.
Mane hit Sané.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know.
Main insane. I don't know. Whatever. Something like that. It's mad. But apparently, as well, Mane's not gone down too well since he got there. He's been moaning and whinging, and he had a right go at Nagelsmann in front of all the players. And yeah, I think he seems to have done nothing but being in a disruptive influence since he got there, or at least that's what some German journalists are, you know, trying to say now. But those two incidents, just like, yeah. Well, actually saw one of them. Fucking mad.
What do you make of that? The assistant referee elbowing Andy Robertson.
Well, I listened to Charlie Eccleshare on a program the other day, and he was and he said, I thought that the weirdest story I'd be doing on here would be when there was no match of the day because Gary Lineker said something on Twitter, and now we're discussing a linesman elbowing a player in the throat. So yeah. you know. Yeah, it's mad. It's absolutely mad. To be encouraged, though, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, discuss. I mean, I think referees put up with a lot of shit from players.
Yeah.
Screaming in their faces, and it was almost. It wasn't quite. It was almost like the Cantona Crystal Palace moment. It was the breaking of the fourth wall, wasn't it? It was. I'm a City fan, so I'm going to put it on the table here. I don't like Andy Robertson, but if he was on my team, I'd love him. I mean, he's clearly an aggressive, you know, everything you want if he's on your team. When you see him playing against you, I think he had it coming.
Do you know what? I like him full stop. I think he's a very sensible lad. He's also one of these guys who will come out and say, you know, he's one that will stop in the mixed zone and say, yeah, that wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we need to do this. And he'll often own up and take responsibility, which I like in any player. But it's, you know, on the back of Fernandez shoving which again, I know it's going back to the Mitrovic, because this has all happened this season. Fernandez pushes linesman. Nothing happens. Mitrovic grabs the arm of a referee, sent off. Gets an 8-game ban. Now, a lot of people are now saying, well, you know, linesman clearly needs to have an 8-game ban. And I kind of think that it was on the field of play. It's kind of, you know, violent conduct, isn't it? It's a 3-game ban. And is there a charge? You know, but then again, it's like, basically what I'm saying is, how do we... Yeah, because this is such new territory. How do we deal with the opposite of, you know, the Mitrovic incident? He's got an 8-game ban. How do we deal with the opposite situation? And is it an 8-game ban? Are we saying that if it, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, or is it less, or is it, I don't know.
I think it should be the same. Because, I mean, but again, it was unprovoked, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't see the full thing. I don't know if anybody's seen the full thing, if there's any lead up to it. But it seemed like he just walked over to him and elbowed him in the... tried to elbow him in the neck, didn't he?
I think there was sort of contact. There was a sort of touch on the arm.
From Robertson?
Yeah.
Right.
But it's, you know... Oh yeah, but it's one of those, like, you turn around to see, like, you know. So unless there's been some verbals with that as well, I don't know. But I can imagine Andy Robertson, you know, getting on your nerves. But, you know, and anyone can get on your nerves in a game of football. So yeah. I don't really see. Like I said, what do you do? You know, what do you do?
Because obviously there's a lot of verbal abuse that referees get, and they very rarely fight back. Have you ever been played in a game when the referees fought back?
One of the strangest incidents that I remember from my football career, which finished about 10 years ago. Sunday morning, I was through on goal at an angle. You know, standard finish, keeper comes out, goes down, chip it over his legs, into the corner. Nice. Lovely, keep cool, turn around, start jogging back to the halfway line. You know, a couple of players run over, give me a tap. I turn round, goalkeepers put the ball down for a goal kick. I'm like, what's going on there then? What's happened is the ball has gone over his legs, gone into the goal, run straight through the goal at the far corner. And straight through the goal at the far corner. Keeper has seen that the referee has pointed for a goal kick, so the keeper just plays along and puts the ball down for a goal kick. And so I'm straight away going, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on a minute. I just scored.
Yeah, right.
Having this. And I go to the keeper and I'm like, oh, come on, mate. And he goes, look, there's a goal in this. I'm not saying anything. I'm like, but this is absolute
bollocks.
Was there
a net on the goal?
Hey,
yeah, so it went through the net.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone right. Straight through the net. So, So the referee comes over and goes, I've scored here. Come on. And he goes, well, why didn't you celebrate then? I said, whoa, right. Are they the rules now? It's not a goal if you don't celebrate. And did you see two of my teammates come over and, like, you know, give me a... And he said, well, I didn't know what that was about. I said, well, it was about me scoring a bloody goal. This is ridiculous. It's a goal. And he's going, I can't remember. Right, so they're trying to take the goal kick, and we're saying, it's a kickoff, it's not a goal kick. So they're like arguing with the ref, saying, no way, we're arguing. So anyway, the ref sits down in the middle of the pitch, and we're talking, this guy was like 6'2" and built like a brick privy. He's like 6'2". Big guy sits down on the ground and says, and crosses his arms and crosses his legs. So imagine this, like, sat down, crossed arm, crossed leg on the pitch, and says in a frustrated and upset voice, I am not starting the game until all of you stop shouting at me. At which point, we all just looked at each other and went, well, this was surreal, but it's just gone up a level. It's just gone up an insane level. And we're like, all of us are looking at each other like, what do we do? What do we do? This is a grown man who just suddenly turned into like a 5-year-old boy.
So what happened?
So we were like, okay. So we calmed down. Said, all right, look, sorry about that, ref. And I went over to him and just said, look, I scored. Simple as that. It went in the back of the net. It's gone through the net. It's their goal. It's their ground. It's their net. All of this is their fault. All I'm guilty of is scoring a goal. Will you please give it? And he just went, yeah, all right then. And he blew for a goal. And funnily enough, they didn't say a word.
Yeah.
They didn't protest in the least because they knew. And that's all that was needed. Because you know what it's like, you know.
Mm.
Anyone's going to, if you're just, let's not say cheating, you're just pushing the envelope. You're going to keep going as long as you can until a decision is made. And when a decision is made, you go, right, fair enough. Hand in, caught with the hand in the till, whatever. Right. Okay.
Were there any linesmen that day or assistant referees?
No, there were no linos. But, you know, even if it had been, it would have been their lino going, no, it didn't go in, ref. And that would have just been even worse.
So there were any kind of, yeah, that's quite a good way of, maybe that's what referees need to do more of. Just sit down.
Have less linesmen. Yeah, just have no replays, no linesmen. And just have a ref losing his temper in the middle of the pitch, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And Lino, that was the VAR. That's the violence assisted referee.
Yeah. Funnily enough, that game took place not far from Stockley Park in West London.
Oh really?
Yeah. Everyone. It's bizarre when I hear Stockley Park referred to, like on Match of the Day coverage or football coverage or whatever, because it's literally like 10 minutes in a car from here.
And is it an actual park?
Yeah. Well, no, it's an industrial estate.
Right, okay.
It's literally, they are in a cavernous warehouse, you know, like any old industrial estate. And it's funny because you're like, ooh, Stockley Park. Yeah, well, you go there and it's just a faceless industrial estate.
Two blokes sitting in a lock-up garage watching grainy footage.
Premier League football headquarters, DPD, Amazon, the fucking usual. Do you know what I mean? All of the usual warehouses.
Yeah, some Chang arriving on a lorry.
For any of you wondering what Chang is, it's a euphemism for cocaine. So there you go. That's the weirdness of football. But one thing I did mention when you were away was that I was quite surprised. I was actually quite surprised about. I felt how out of touch both Mr. Klein and yourself were when we were Yeah, you're right to look quizzical. When we were referring to managers, and just the concept that anybody thinks that Neil Warnock is either beloved or responsible for good football is a notion that could only be held by fans of top six Premier League clubs. Everybody outside of that small group knows that he's called Colin Wanker for a reason, that his football is horrific, and that even teams he's got promoted are begging for him to be sacked within 10 games.
No, it wasn't
games.
Top six thing. No, it was because obviously Neil Warnock's been around long before, you know, we got injected with petrodollars.
Yes.
It was, I suppose, because he was always quite funny. He seemed like a bit of a character. That's why I always thought, well, he seems quite likeable. You know,
because
then it started to grate after a while.
Yorkshireman, tells it like it is, doesn't he? Well, I was saying to Sharon, I don't know why they bother. I don't know why they bother. I mean, I'm taking the money, but they're going down. You know, it's terrible. That over there, couldn't hit a brick if you threw it at his head, honestly.
But you got teams promoted, that's why. I mean, so, yeah, and I guess that's a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of promotions. He has. He's also got a nickname, Colin Wanker, for a reason. You know.
What does he do now?
What's he do now? He came in to manage Huddersfield, didn't he? He's unretired yet again.
Oh right.
He's at Huddersfield trying to get them out the out the bottom three.
Out the car park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what? He's failing that.
And Dave, Mr. Klein's favourite manager, Roy Hodgson, who's doing another Lazarus act.
There's a great topic of discussion. All right, well, tell you what, check this out. I am going to, because, like, you know how old I am.
Yeah.
How old was I when Roy Hodgson took up his first managerial appointment?
So, who was that?
Listeners, I am 52.
Okay.
I was born in 1970. How old was I when Roy Hodgson took his first?
Can you tell me where it was? Was
managerial?
Which club was it?
I can't tell you, I'm afraid. No, okay. I don't think it'll help because it's not.
I remember
in the UK.
Him managing Switzerland at Euro '96. Before that, he was somewhere in Sweden, was he? And then before that, he was. Fuck it, I'm gonna say. He's 135 now. I think he celebrated his 135th birthday the other week.
Very good.
So I'm just gonna say you were 12.
Right. I was 6, 1976.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
What was that? What was the job?
Managing a football club. Don't ask anymore because I don't know.
I thought you had some deep. I thought you'd done some.
Well,
research.
Well, fucking Wikipedia it. You can have the answer in 20 seconds.
No,
he's just. It's the time that's fascinating. The club is like, you know.
Is this like a sad version of when it's like what was number one on the day you were born? Have you got a date for every birthday? What was Roy Hodgson doing on?
Yes.
Your birthday.
Yeah. Roy Hodgson accepts invitation to manage Inter Milan.
Yes, he was at Inter Milan, wasn't he? How did he get on there?
Nothing special, but in that era, nobody was doing anything special at Inter. Like, this was the cursed years of Inter.
Right. So you're...
managed them didn't really have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, talking of Champions League, obviously I want City to win, and there is a method to this madness because I'm talking about Inter Milan, and I know your love and affection and our love and affection with James Richardson and Football Italia back in the day. So it's the Italian football's having a resurgence. So if City don't win the Champions League, I want Napoli to win, basically.
Yeah.
Have we talked about this as to why this is happening? Why are the three Italian teams...
This is really interesting because all of a sudden Italian journalists, I'm looking at you, Mina Rizzucchi, are going, oh well, Italy's the strongest league in the world because we've got more teams in the Champions League. You see, it's obvious. Oh yeah, Serie A is great. It's like, okay, well, by your own definition, You've been shit for the last 10 years then, haven't you?
Yeah.
But to get back to the point in hand, yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? There's a lot of talk that the Spanish, you know, Spanish leagues are, you know, just seem to be fading a little bit.
Right.
You know, well, Barcelona have not, you know, lit Europe up. They've got their own issues, despite the fact that they're winning the league. But, you know, long term, they have issues. And there's a feeling in Spain that a part of the reason for Barcelona wanting to go back to get Messi, the Spanish league have changed their rules slightly. And it's almost like they need to get Messi back to the Spanish league to give it a little bit more pull in, you know, in the world's media. Which I know it's bizarre, isn't it? But then Serie A, I just think it's a perfect storm. I don't think there's anything behind it. I just think it's a perfect storm. It's, you know, nobody can explain Napoli. I mean, no one can explain how they are winning. I mean, they're gonna win the league. You know, amazing. I mean, it's a Burnley in the Championship situation. You know, I mean, and this
or is it a Leicester in the Premier League situation?
No, because they weren't anywhere near 5,000 to 1.
Right.
You know, it's a, it, but it, it they certainly, you know, beginning of the season, nobody is tipping Napoli to win at
it's
all.
They're going to win a lot of money, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, the bookies, as always. Yeah. but the, you know, the, now, do you know what? Total tangent.
Do you know it?
No, total tangent.
Another Italian football team, Genoa. Sorry,
very good. Yeah,
very good. Poor play on words. Go on.
David Genoa. Yeah. So by 2024, Premier League clubs have got to get off the gaming sponsor tit.
Have they?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but it's still a long way from what needs doing, which is completely eradicating. I mean, there's a number of podcasts that I won't listen to anymore because they are just littered with betting adverts. And it doesn't matter who the outlet is, you know, whether, I mean, I subscribe to The Athletic and I love 90% of their content, but there's a couple of podcasts there that are so full of fucking, well, there's one podcast where someone from Bet365 is on the podcast and everyone's talking football and he talks football occasionally and then starts throwing in odds.
Mm.
And in the, I mean, and it's just like, oh, just fuck off.
Yeah. Well, it's also Peter Crouch, Jermaine Genus, those ex players in betting adverts and, you know, aware of, they've probably got mates who have, you know,
yeah,
lost everything. But they don't need them. I'm sorry, they don't need the fucking money. Peter Crouch is doing very well, thank you. He doesn't need to be the face of whoever he is, the face of Bet365 or whoever it is. And Jermaine Jean is playing table football. I mean, you know, show a bit of fucking class.
I couldn't agree more as well. And funnily enough, the podcast adverts they're a lot more disingenuous than the TV adverts because it's like, It really shows the lip service that's being, you know, and they go on and on and on, like about, you know, oh, have you ever made a bet and it doesn't really and looked at it and thought it doesn't really reflect you? What kind of thinking is that?
Yeah.
Honestly, if you are even thinking that, yeah, you need to fucking stop with the betting.
Yeah.
You need to never, ever bet again. If you have the thought that you're about to place a bet that doesn't really reflect you, it's over. You're done. Yeah? The fun has fucking stopped.
Yeah.
But you do this whole advert, and then it's a whole advert, and it says, gamblers must be 18, T's and C's apply, be gambleaware.org. When the fun stops, stop. And you say, Jesus Christ. You know, once again, with feeling.
Yeah.
It's well,
that's good that they're stopping. I mean, so by 2024, but I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess that's pointless because we'll have had probably a nuclear holocaust by then. So, no.
So yes, welcome to the reducer, ladies and gentlemen. We've tumbled into accidentally how the world is going to be reduced to rubble in apparently 2 years.
No, that's true. But I mean, yeah. So, but I mean, something's going to replace it. It's like, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, because obviously the fact, you know, the booze and fag stops advertising, so that it's completely gambling industry now is sponsoring and advertising and propping up sport. So what happens when that stops? There will be another industry that will step into the breach. I guess it will be.
Well, that's quite interesting, actually, because if you think about it, right, if these regimes are guilty of a phrase that is, you know, until about, I don't know, 18 months ago, pretty much you could say to your average football fan what's sports washing and they wouldn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, I would say it's in the consciousness of most football fans as to what sports washing is.
Washing your kit.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, yeah, have a look at your washing machine if you're confused. But there is without a doubt, there's like, you know, bet washing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, and Paddy Power are very good at this. He's like, oh, look at our hilarious advert.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, yeah, granted, the advert was funny, but we do know what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, and you just look at all these betting companies that are tied in with like every Premier League club, Championship club, all the rest of it. Mm. And it's made it acceptable. It's made it like, oh, you know, well, yeah, you just have a bet, don't you? You go at the game.
Yeah, it's part of the kind of ritual, pre-game ritual, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, in effect, there is kids growing up with their dads going, oh, it's part of the match game, you know, it's part of the match day experience. Yeah. So as soon as they're old enough, they're going to be sticking an app on their phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and joining in. And that's what kind of grates on me. That's what, you know, it's what it's all about. So basically, it's just a way of betting companies to fleece people of their money. It's all betting companies do. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also hate the term betting partner. It's just, oh, fuck it. This has gone down a depressing route, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, but Napoli, so somebody somewhere has got a bet on Napoli and it's going to come good. But yeah, so Napoli, nobody predicted that. Inter Milan beat Benfica 2-0 away. Times are good.
And without Lukaku as well. Lukaku hasn't scored a goal from open play since August.
You were six. Oh, right. I thought your sixth birthday.
August.
Has he? Really?
He's not scored a goal from open play since August.
That's amazing.
Unless he scored one literally, like, you know, in that 2-0 victory, which I don't think he did. But and old Pippo Inzaghi, the Inter manager, who's like constantly having to defend himself for being a shit manager. And I just think it's just because it's him. It's like, because no one can take him seriously as a manager. And I don't know why that is. But yeah, no, just nobody takes him seriously. I don't even think the Inter fans, I think the Inter fans are still like, kind of like, yeah, you know, he'll be gone in a bit. This isn't real.
Yeah, maybe it's a bit like Matteo at Chelsea. I mean, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, and we haven't even started on there. We've mentioned Hodgson going back to Palace. What about old Fat Frank going back to Chelsea?
I thought you and Dave probably hammered this last week, didn't you?
No, I don't think it had been confirmed.
I think I thought I heard something about that. Yeah, I mean, it's a short-term...
it's short-term bollocks is what it is.
But they've got an owner who's an idiot, which is just becoming... Did you hear him last night before the game, Todd Boehly?
No.
He said, I will win 3-0.
Oh.
He's got the Bayo. It's like Lampard, you know, and Ancelotti will just go, sorry, what's that? You're going to beat 3? I'll just have a chat with the lads. Come on. I did have a team talk, but I'm just going to play this fat American bloke saying we're going to lose 3-0. Off you go.
I'll tell you but, what, you've just because that I was just thinking about like the all of the, you know, the mechanisms in the background there of how that's going to go down here and there and all the rest of it, and it was reminding me of something. It was reminding me of something, and I thought, oh my God, I have just come up with the perfect manager to become full-time Chelsea boss. He and Todd Bowley would be an absolute just dream team. And we could all sit back and watch all of this unfold and crash and burn and become one of the biggest footballing financial disasters of in history. And it'll be no longer doing a Leeds, it'll be doing a Chelsea. Get fucking Jesse Marsh in. Get him in.
Yeah.
Jesse Marsh and Todd Bowley. Hey, Jesse, yeah. Did you hear? Todd says you're going to win 3-0. Really? Huh, I think it's going to be 4. You know, yeah. let me throw some Gandhi quotes at you.
Yeah.
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Have you ever heard that one? Yes, Jesse, everybody has. Really? Yes. Fuck off back to LinkedIn, you idiot.
Fuck off back to LinkedIn. Is he? He's a LinkedIn manager, is he?
Well, one of the things that wound the owners up, because we've literally got the opposite now. We're back to kind of Bielsa press conferences where he's asked a question, he answers it. Whereas Jesse Marsh would answer the question, then talk for about 15 to 20 minutes about something that had nothing to do with the question, but about the club, jabber, jabber, jabber. I mean, and it was talk less. And we're hovering above the bottom three, and that is when Jesse Marsh joins LinkedIn and announces his announces the fact that he's joined LinkedIn and can't wait to exchange ideas with
with great. I didn't know that.
And it's just like, dude, where is your self-awareness? You're like 17th in the Premier League. Yeah, what are you going to do? Teach people how to take a grand sporting institution and fucking ruin it? You know, I mean, what's the play here, Jesse?
I did not know that he went on LinkedIn. That really is, that's the end of all days when a manager goes on LinkedIn.
Yeah, yeah. It fits with Jesse Marsh perfectly. It fits with that, you know. I can imagine him doing a PowerPoint presentation, because pretty much everybody in the world now knows that if you're going to do a PowerPoint presentation, you may as well just distribute pillows before you start. You know, no one's got any fucking time for it at all. Yeah, Jesse could just wander on with this massive fucking fridge door and just chuck magnets onto it with his key phrases on them. Do you know what I mean? Prepare to fail, fail to prepare. You know, makes an ass out of you and me.
Is that a Simpsons character that hasn't been written yet, hasn't he, Jesse Marsh? He should be. I mean, it's what Ted Lasso should have been if it had been a dark comedy.
He is. He's a positive football coach. But the thing is, how he ended up with the lovable nickname that I know you like, Yank Lampard. How he came up with that is, if you watch any of Lampard's post-match interviews, he and Jesse have got relegation battle. Relegation battle. Again, another reason that, you know, you lot top six. No idea.
Oh, no, I don't listen to Frank Lampard because he bores me instantly.
Right, okay, fair
enough. That's
what
I mean.
Well, when he's not boring you, what he is saying is, well, he's boring you when he's saying this, that you'll hear him say, well, I've said to the players, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. You know, and I've said to him, and we've talked with the players and, and it's like, I see he's basically saying, he's totally agreeing that it wasn't acceptable and everything that's gone wrong and all the rest of it. And, he needs to have a word with the players. It's subtle when you first hear it. But after a while, on its, 10th outing, you start going, yeah, he's coming across like he's taking the responsibility, but he's not. He keeps saying the players. He keeps talking about players. And Jesse Marsh was exactly the same, you know. Cool, a bit crazy result there, Jesse, 4-3, 2-0. Yeah, yeah. Well, And I don't like it. I keep saying to the players, you know, we need to get rid of this. We need to get rid of it. You know, I'm saying we need to be calmer, and I'm saying this, and I'm saying to the players that we, well, what are we? It's like, dude, you just sound like you're distancing yourself all the time. You keep talking about what you're telling the players and what you want from the players, and the and the subtext of that is the players aren't doing what I'm telling them to do. If they did, we wouldn't be in this mess. And the players are listening to your interviews and thinking, oh, it's like that, is it?
Yeah, he's like a soft dad. It's a bit like, you know, you're only your parents talking about their kids to other parents. Well, I've told him he can't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning on his Xbox. I mean, I've told him, you know, he needs to learn that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
have you tried stopping him from doing that?
Yeah, it's like, well, you know.
Have you tried coaching the players? I mean, and Lampard was at it again. I remember, I think you told me this once. I think one of Jesse Marsh's things was he talked about we need to be confident. And that's exactly what Lampard said last night after the 2-0. He said, I've told them they need to be confident. I think if we're confident, you know, we can win next week. So, yeah, okay.
Because that's all.
That's how you beat Real Madrid.
The players will be sat there going, do you know what? I hadn't thought of being confident. You know why? Because I'm not. Because we just lost 2-0 and we've been losing games left, right and centre. We've scored 19 goals all fucking season in the Premier League.
Yeah. Such a weird team.
That's probably why they're not confident.
Because you look at it all in there. I mean, you just think that a decent manager goes in there and they win the league. I don't know. They just, you look at the team sheet, you look at the formation, you think, yeah, this is a good team. They haven't got a centre forward. I mean, that is clearly. But apart from that,
until the summer when he comes back.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't want to play again.
Well, Bowley, but I'm saying that my point is that Bowley, the 3-0, I mean, that's the worrying thing for Chelsea, is the person at the top has no idea. And I don't know what his directors of football are telling him, but that's a problem, because I imagine he's probably, his solution to this will be, let's get Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, but I don't know about you, mate, but I'm kind of the feeling that Todd Bowley saying we're going to win 3-0 tells me the situation isn't as bad as I'd actually thought, because given his behaviour in the transfer market, I can't believe that he didn't say that they were going to win 10-0.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So Todd, you know, you're very hello. You're very rarely on. Am I on? Are you very rarely on TV? Have you got a prediction for us tonight? Fully expecting, you know, journalist. Brackets, fully expecting him to swerve this question. Clearly, he's an intelligent businessman. He's been dealing with the press for years. He's not going to say 3-0. I think we're going to win 3-0. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Back to the studio. I'm off for a fucking shower. That's ridiculous. Fucking what? Anyway, who gives a shit? Chelsea are going out. Man City are going to win the Champions League. Dave Rothney is back, and you never know. It might be all three of us next week. Who can say?
Yeah, it may be. We may play the traditional formation.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as
the
always,
squad system. We're trying to keep everybody hungry. You've left me out of the team for a couple of weeks, and I've done my talking on the. I'm back.
But you've done your talking on the pod, haven't you? You've done it out of the pod.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of which, I saw John Wick 4 this week. And it's already been picked up by somebody else, but I even noted it at the time, and I'm so annoyed somebody else reported it to Football Clichés podcast. But there's a bit in John Wick where John Wick turns around to Ian McShane and says, any advice? And Ian McShane, this must have, even at the time I thought, that's got to be improvised.
Right.
Because there's no way that's in this. And Ian McShane just goes, just go and have fun out there. Even at the time, I was thinking, eh?
Super.
Where did that come from?
Can you recommend John Wick 4?
I can recommend John Wick 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right, brilliant. Yeah,
hell yes. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Things.
For an action movie to be 2 hours and 40 minutes long and not be shit and boring, yeah, excellent. Anyway, there you go. A film tip at the end as well, folks. Yeah. Maybe it's not the shittiest podcast that you subscribe to. Thanks a lot. Fuck off. See you next week.